Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Relationship Marketing 101 for Tuesday, November 18th. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, coming to you live from Samstown in Las Vegas, Nevada, as I do every Tuesday at noon Eastern. Well, we've got a wonderful show for you today. I'm hoping to have some of my apprentices on the line with us. I know we've got Jennifer Carter from EmpoweringWomenInBusiness.com on the line with us. And today what we're going to be talking about is using social media to build relationships in your business. Social media is a really great thing. And when I say social media, I'm talking you got tons of different choices to use. We've got things like social networking, social bookmarking, blogs, different types of sites like Squidoo, sites like MySpace and Facebook, which are obviously social networking. So that's the kind of topic we're going to talk about today. Jennifer, I'm going to see if I can unmute you and bring you on the air live with me. See if this works. Are you there, Jennifer?
Hey, good morning, Gina. I sure am. Can you hear me?
Good. I can. How are you today?
I'm doing real well, real well. Excited for the show. How are you?
Pretty good. I've got to switch my intro music. I wanted to have a different song for you guys today, so I cut it short because I really didn't want that song. It just didn't work for me. I'm going to have to get you to help me do that later this week.
Absolutely.
So tell me, have you done much with social media yourself?
I have been doing more and more with it, and the more I learn about it and the more I do with it, the more excited I get. Obviously, you know I've learned a lot from you, and I'm here on the show today so I can learn some more. It has opened up a whole new world of possibilities of how to connect with people. So
it really does, and you're right. The more you use it, that's the key. The more you use it, the more it does open your eyes. Tell me about some of the kinds of things you've tried so far.
Okay, the things that I've been working with so far are, of course, building relationships and profiles and whatnot through Facebook, and I've learned a lot through, I think it was a couple of your programs that showed us some interesting ways to add to the power of the Facebook profile. I've been, of course, Twittering away and learning about building relationships there and doing a lot of social bookmarking, which I had never heard of that in my life until I came across you, and I have gotten more hits to my website using that than anything I'd done in the past. So I'm pretty excited about it, and I want to learn more.
And here's the neat thing. Each kind of social media site gives you a different result. So you mentioned social bookmarking. Social bookmarking is awesome for doing exactly what you suggested. It drives hits. In other words, it will bring people to your website. Typically, those are going to be freebie seekers, visitors. They may not even be subscribers. It's some of the other kinds of sites that are really powerful for driving buyers. Facebook, if you've got an audience that is out on Facebook, is a site that could cause you, instead of getting, say, 2% conversions on something, which is industry average, I've personally gotten as high as 22% conversions driving traffic with Facebook. Mm. There is another social network that's great for people like you and I who have an audience consisting of women business owners or women entrepreneurs, and that is divapreneur.ning.com, divapreneur.ning.com. Last time I promoted an info product using Divapreneur, I got almost 30% conversions from it. And the way that I promoted it was so simple. All I did was I went into Divapreneur, I found a couple of forum threads that dealt with a topic that I happened to have a product about. I went in, I offered a little bit of advice, and within the next 48 hours, in came almost 40 sales. It was that hard, literally that hard, maybe 10 minutes of my time. Not a big deal at all. That's the nature of a social networking site. that is extremely typical of social networking sites. And I like to use the Ning network simply because Ning has so many niche-specific networks. I was out looking last week for social networks that related to peace. In Ning, which is http://www.ning.com, in Ning, there were over 2,160 social networks related to peace. That is an enormous number of social networks. I didn't know that there were 2,160 on the planet, much less all related to one niche. Some niches, social networking is just super hot in. And if you happen to be in one of those niches, plan a very substantial social media blitz using some of those social networks. Because when you do, you will not need affiliates. Or, even better yet, teach your affiliates how to use those social networks for you so that they can get the benefit of the higher conversions, you can get the benefit of the higher conversions, and you can multiply your efforts that much faster. The key to making social networks like Facebook, MySpace, any of the Ning sites, the key to making them work is you've got to consistently be out there building relationships. Those relationships start by inviting people to become your friends. Have you been inviting people to become your friends out on Facebook, Jennifer?
Quite a bit, yeah.
How many friends do you have?
Oh, don't ask me that. I'll embarrass a few hundred. A few hundred.
Hey, that is good, though, for a good start.
Yeah.
I've been building mine since the beginning of this year, so yeah, I've got 3,000 friends. But if you've only been building it for a couple weeks to a month, a few hundred's pretty good. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. Now, one thing that I hear people frustrated with sometimes is they think, well, shoot, I invited 100 friends today. Why do I only have 20 tomorrow? Well, just because you invite them doesn't mean that they have to become your friends. Right, Jennifer?
Right. They don't have to.
Have you paid attention? Say it again.
I was just saying that more often than not they do, but I think, and maybe you'll talk about this, I think it depends on how you invite them to be your friends as well that determines
it
whether or not they become your friend.
And have you paid attention at all to what percentage of people are actually agreeing to become your friends?
No, I don't think I have a clear statistic, but I would say the majority do.
Here's what you want to do, because you're right. What you do in terms of how you invite your friends to become friends definitely changes that number. What you want to do, especially when you're just getting started with this and you've never done it before, is start tracking how many friends are you asking to join you, how many people are actually joining you, and determine what that percentage is. If you're doing a good job, typically 80% of your friend requests will turn into new friends. So if you invited 100 people, 80 should turn into your friends. But you can really do things in a way that causes you to see a relationship between what you're doing and the numbers that are signing up. So Jennifer, how would you go about building relationships, asking friends to become friends?
Okay, well, the first thing I do is I look for people. Of course, if the people I already know, then I ask based on our current relationship. But in finding brand new people, I look for friends of people who are like me or who are like my target market. So people who are your friends would make great friends with me, I would think. And a lot of other
I would agree.
Who have anything to do with business, with public speaking, with women. I invite those kinds of people and their friends. And then, and love your feedback on this, but I tend to make some kind of comment relating to either the person who's our mutual friend or to the topic that is kind of the mutual topic, whether it's business or whatnot. I might tell a little bit about me, but then I try to focus it on, so why are you here? What brings you to, you know, this person? What are your goals? And I, when I ask them about them, I get a much higher feedback than when I say, hey, let's be friends. We're both friends with, you know, so-and-so. So actually that's one thing that gets me a lot of feedback, as it gets people connected with me, as well as getting them to say, yes, I'll be your friend.
Well, and it does one other thing. It starts the relationship out at a higher level. If you write a little templated kind of a message that you can copy and use for every single person that you're going to invite in as a friend, and it sounds like it's a templated kind of a message, it's going to start a relationship that's going to be a templated kind of a relationship. It's going to feel cold, because it is cold. You started it out in a cold way. You instead want to start that relationship out in a way that doesn't feel cold, so that you're starting that relationship out at a higher level immediately. I agree with one of the ways that you're going about getting your friends. Go find other people who are already experts in your same market. Go get their friends to become your friends. I agree, my friends would make ideal friends for you. Now, keep in mind two things. Just about every single social network out there, Facebook, MySpace, the name sites, all of them cannot stand when you pull up just one person's friend list and go down the list one at a time, hitting invite as a friend, add as friend, add friend, add friend, add friend. If you did that for more than about 10 to 20 people in a row, most of the social networks are going to give you a warning telling you that you're spamming somebody's friends list. There are some social networks, though, that will not give you the benefit of a warning, and instead, they will simply ban your profile. That would be terrible if you've already put some effort into getting 3,000 visitors like me. So the way you get around that is to open two browser windows. In one browser window, you're looking at expert and all of the contacts that she has. In the other window, you again have Facebook open. You're again logged into your account. This time what you're using is the search box. So for each of those people that you're finding on that expert's friends list, you go into the search box in the second tab, paste in that person's name, do a search for them, and from the search result, click Add Friend. That makes an enormous difference to the different social networks. They don't feel like it's spamming as much when you're doing it that way. And like you said, Jennifer, you want to write an email that does something more than say, hey, let's be friends. You've got to give them a reason why. Think about what you would be like if someone just sent you a friend request out of the clear blue. How likely would you be to actually agree to that relationship? Now, it's up to you to cause them to want to become involved in that relationship. It's really something that you can cause or not cause. So you want to see if you can come up with something meaningful that works for a number of people so you don't have to write a custom friend request every single time. So if you're using a specific person, so let's just use you adding my friends as your friends. Something you could go and talk about in your friend requests is, hey, I see you're a friend of Gina Gaudio Graves. I am too. In fact, she's my mentor. I'd love to be your friend as well. Come and join me at whatever. that would give you something in common with them. You're both friends of mine, but it gives them a reason why they want to be friends with you. If they're my friends, if they know anything about me, and if they like anything about me, knowing that you're one of my students should be a big deal. It immediately brings you up as an expert because you've got this mentor that you're following, and hey, maybe they can pick up some good tips from you too. So it gives them a reason why. You could even take it one step further and say something like, in my blog, I often share tips that I've learned from the from Gina's apprenticeship program. And you'll find my blog right on my Facebook profile so that they know you're actually talking about what you're learning. That might help as well. What are some of the ways that you've introduced yourself, Jennifer, to some of these people in the past?
Well, let's see. In addition to, again, if we have a mutual friend, I'll usually mention that person, as well as, again, the topic. Like, I know you're about internet marketing and building relationships. And then the other thing that, again, I find has really good results is just is asking them about them, taking it one step further and saying, you know, what are your goals here? What are your goals in business? What are your goals, you know, outside of business? And I get a lot of really good responses that opens up good conversation, as well as adding to the friend counter. So,
well, I absolutely love doing that. That is a wonderful idea. Think about a courting relationship or a dating relationship, like I said last week. If you think about the way that dating works, don't you always end up moving a lot further in your relationship when you're out there asking questions of the other person instead of sitting there talking about yourself all the time? It seems to propel the relationship further faster. And that's kind of the same thing that you're doing in inviting people to become your friends. You're kind of working your way through the dating relationship, if you will, or the courting process, where you're feeling them out to see if you like them. They're feeling you out to see if they like you. You're trying to see if you've got anything in common with one another that could make you want to become, you know, long-term, not partners, but have a long-term relationship. And so asking those questions is extremely powerful because it shows them two things. Number one, it shows them that you're not someone who's going to sit there and just talk about themselves and be so boring that they just don't really want to have anything to do with you. And number two, it shows you that more than that, you're really interested in them and their success and what they're doing and how you can help them. That's a big deal to a lot of people, especially on the internet, where so many people are egotistical and so many people really could care less about their audience. And they really are there for themselves, and they make sure everybody knows that they're there for themselves. For someone to find another person, especially someone who is a marketer, and that marketer is actually sitting there being helpful, being ready, willing, and able to serve them, that is huge. Really huge. So that's a great thing to be doing. What else are you doing with social networking?
Well, gosh.
When somebody comes in as a friend, then what happens?
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, then, you know, then we work on building the relationship. We court more, as you put it. I love that analogy. Or we, you know, we build our friendship. As I find out more about their interests, you know, if they're looking to build their business or just network or, you know, sometimes they're looking for friends, the more I know about them, the more I know how maybe I can help them, and whether it's something that I'm doing directly in my business or something that I know somebody else is doing, if I know they have that need, then I can pass it on to them.
Now, how do you find out about it? Where do you find out about it?
I ask, I go on their profile. After somebody says, hey, let's be friends, or vice versa, I'm going to check their profile. If they have a website, I'm going to go to their website, see what they're about. If they have a few websites, I'll check that out. And again, just straightforward asking, okay, you told me about this, tell me more about that.
But where does the interaction occur within the profile? Is it through email? Is it on the profile itself?
Well, I'm going to find out information about them on the profile, and then we're going to be sending messages. Usually I'm sending messages back and forth. Sometimes I might be writing on their wall, which is kind of the public. Everybody sees it. And then sometimes we send messages back and forth that are, you know, private.
In the Facebook Instant Messenger, correct?
Right. So, I'm talking in Facebook, correct.
So you're actually working in real time when you're doing that. And that is powerful. That is really powerful. A couple years ago, the only way that you could do that kind of thing was just through something like Yahoo's Instant Messenger or AOL's Instant Messenger, back before the whole Web 2.0 thing became popular. Trying to find people that were your audience that you could interact with in one of the Messenger clients just didn't happen very often, and it didn't happen very easily when it did. When you're out there today in 2008, soon to be 2009, building a business, you have a major, major edge over anybody who was online a few years back, simply because you've got this ability to interact on a one-on-one basis with your audience. That is so powerful. You could actually carry that one step further. There's a neat little tool I like to recommend called PBNext, PBNext.com. Now, here's what PBNext does. It is basically a switchboard service for online marketers. It's a call center, if you will. It's a way to have all of your phones go right into an 800 number that goes into your PBNext account, and your PBNext account can then funnel it to the proper place. You can have extensions so people could call in and hear, hi, thanks for calling me, IM University. If you're looking for the Dean, Gina Gaudio Graves, dial 1. If you're looking for her assistant, Shelby Carr, dial 2. If you're looking for one of the coaches, dial 3. And they would literally be connected to whoever you tell that service you want them to connect people through. There's also a really, really, really powerful feature in it that allows you to interact with people while they are still on your website. So what you do is you put up an opt-in box that uses the form code from your autoresponder as well as a little one-line piece of code from PBNext. And what it does is it turns your opt-in box into this hybrid. So as someone goes and opts in, when they get to the thank you page, PBNext picks up a phone, they call you, they announce to you who they have ready to talk to you. It then goes out, calls the person that just opted in, and before they ever left your thank you page, you are on the phone sitting there talking to them in real time, saying something like, hey, Jennifer, I see you just opted in for my free report on goal setting. This is Gina Gaudio Graves, and I just wanted to check and see if you had any questions that I might be able to answer for you. How blown away would people be if they all of a sudden had a phone ring and found out that it was the person whose report they just downloaded that was on the other line? Enormous, right?
I had no idea PBNext could do that.
Is that amazing or what?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I just thought it was a phone system.
No, much more than a phone system. And to use PBNext is typically around $100 a month or so. they do have upgrade plans available. They do have this other service that my husband is looking into. It's a very, very comprehensive platform. Now, it's not very expensive. It's about $99 a month. It comes with a certain number of minutes on the 800 number because you've got an incoming 800 number. They do, however, and you pay for the minutes after that certain amount. I think you get like 100 or 200 included, and then it's like 5 to 8 cents a minute. There is a way to get more minutes than that covered, however, and that is to go and get one of the other, to go get Tahitian Noni, which is a network marketing company. If you are a Tahitian Noni dealer, you can get PB Next with unlimited usage for under $50 a month. That is one sweet deal. So to become a Tahitian Noni dealer is going to cost you about $50 a month as well. And you'd need to continue your membership to Tahitian Noni in order to be able to offer this service or get this service through the traffic people. So that becomes a viable option because it's at least it's going to get you all your minutes included. You're not going to have any other minutes. Yeah, together for the two things, it's still going to end up costing you. But at least this way you've got some way of protecting yourself and really still getting that same effect with the client or prospect, because you can't beat what you can do when you're picking up the phone and calling somebody. The thing is, for internet marketers, for so many years, we all hid behind our computer screens. It was just us building our businesses all by ourselves. And I really think that for the most part, internet marketers were truly happy doing that. Can you still build a business that same way, hiding behind a computer screen today? Well, sure, you can, absolutely. But why would you want to? If you did it that way, you would have an awful lot less of everything. You'd have less of a need to do social networking or social bookmarking. You'd be focused still on selling, not on serving. Your products would probably look different. It would still work. The difference is doing it so that the relationships are the focus. The results are so much bigger. I mean, so much bigger. So even if you could, I don't think you'd want to, just for that reason. Any questions, Jennifer?
No questions, but it's funny that you bring PB Next up. I know of several people who use PB Next entirely for their office system, and because, as you mentioned, through, for example, Tahitian Noni, I didn't know that with
yep.
them, you can get a great deal. But because you can have so many extensions and have an 800 number in and going out, people will use it for all of their long distance calls and their and again, it's their office, and it replaces what people just a few years ago had to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have, you know, phone equipment that
absolutely
have a professional setup. But you know, I actually use PB Next too, and I can create as many extensions with different voices if I want, you know, different people. And, you know, make it seem like I have a whole staff here in my nice little home office. So PB Next is a great tool.
Yeah, I would definitely second that. Definitely second that. It is amazing how much you can get out of it. I see Carrie's on the line. Let me see if I can get her unmuted. Carrie, are you with us today?
I am. Trying to do the school drop-off thing, but I was trying to poke my head in here a little bit.
Well, I just wanted to find out a little bit about what you've done with social media so far in building your business.
Well, I've been using TweetBeeps, and that's like open doors for me in that I have a lot of two-way communication going on with people now. And
really?
Yeah, like a lot more people respond to me, and when I respond to them, we'll get conversation going back and forth. And I hadn't been able to really establish that on Facebook, one communication, but not anything that continued past a single email, or a single exchange. And TweetBeep, I'm noticing that is I can find people who are like-minded and share back and forth. And I've also identified a lot of, big players who follow no one. I thought that was so strange to see, 23,000 updates and following zero.
Wow.
They don't have many people following them either, but they are constantly tweeting. Constantly, all the time. Nobody's following him. They're not following anyone. They don't seem to recognize that it's a social tool.
No kidding.
I've even given a few of them a retweet and said, "Did you know that Twitter is a social network? Follow to be followed."
Too funny. Well, let's mention what TweetBeep is, because I want to make sure our listeners understand what it is. TweetBeep is a little tool that's very similar to what Google Alerts does. You can go in, you can put in a topic, you can put in the name, you can do a whole lot of different things depending upon what you're trying to use it for. It will then track every post that mentions what it is you're looking for. So what you're talking about is using it for... what do they call that? You've been using TweetBeep to come up with people that you can build relationships with, correct? Or are you using it for topics?
Oh, I've been both. Actually, I know what's in the news now. It's really good for that. And then the other is I found knowledgeable people who I would have an exchange with, so they'd go to my blog. And like this one guy left this really nice long comment. And, I'm trying not to be so wordy, so he did me the favor of adding details I would have said myself. Everything he said was great. And then a fan I have now who nominated me for a Charming Award, I think, she was just blown away by my blog post and that other expert's comment. And so I just, the fans loving it on my blog, too. So I'm just really enjoying TweetBeep. It's just I have to be careful not to spend too much time there.
Yeah, that's real easy to do with TweetBeep. Real easy to do. Although I find it easy to do with Google Alerts, too. So, hey, they're very, very similar. But an extremely effective thing to do.
I sure have not gotten as much up-to-the-minute information from Google Alerts as I do from TweetBeep. Maybe just because
Are you using the same terms?
Yeah. Maybe it's just the sheer volume of the Google keyword alert that it's like overwhelming, so I'm not able to sift through it. Because Google keyword alerts are, oh my gosh, that is just so much for the one keyword. But TweetBeep is less, and it's all the same people using them, but they seem right on top of what is the latest thing in the news. So it's a lot easier and quicker, I think, TweetBeep than Google Keyword Alerts, at least for my market.
And I think it is going to be market-specific. I think some markets are going to benefit from one. Other markets are going to benefit from another. It's going to be something you're going to have to test to find the ideal combination, and there's just not a lot of other ways to work it. I know in my market, they're both about equal. I will get as good a result as I will in TweetBeep in Google Alerts. So I use them in connection with one another. Sometimes it's kind of neat to put in the exact same term to see what the different results are going to bring. That happens kind of often. So that's definitely something that you could do. So I'm just looking to see who else is in the call with us. Hold on one second. We've got a caller from 702. Is that Las Vegas? Who's joining us from area code 702?
Hi, Gina, it's me.
Hey, Alan. Oh, you've got a 702 area code. So what are you doing with social media?
I have Facebook is the main thing that I've been working on. I have about 800 friends on Facebook.
Wow, that's a lot. How long has it taken you to get 800 friends?
Well, actually, I stopped working on it for, I was doing it for a couple of months, and then I stopped working on it because I started thinking about who I'm targeting, and I think that's important. I was getting a lot of people asking me to be friends who are all into the internet marketing niche, and so I have a lot of internet marketing friends, but if I'm not marketing to internet marketing friends, I thought it doesn't make that much sense for me to friend them. I want to target more of my friend list to the people that are my target market rather than me being their target market.
I would definitely agree with that, by the way. Definitely. That's a very good...
I want to add, being in the real estate market, I want to add people who are... It's harder to identify on Facebook people who are looking for homes, which is really... or looking to sell a home, which is would be more in my market, but it's easy to find realtors. So I don't really want to befriend a lot of realtors either.
Okay. So what do you want instead?
Well, I'm thinking that I have to look more at the demographics of who wants to buy a home. People who are young and just getting out of school, people who are just getting married or just got a good job, maybe graduates from law school or from medical school, and try to add those people. They're a lot harder to find, although Facebook does have some good search possibilities where you can search on different interests, so it is possible to find them. But for right now, I've kind of slowed down adding the friends in order to have something to provide them once I get the friends. I'm working more on building my product so that I have something to offer them.
Don't let that slow you down on getting friends. Those friends are still going to be very valuable to you in the end. You still want them even prior to putting your product out there.
I understand that. I'm just trying to divide my time up between what I have to do to build the product and the social networking, the blogging. I only have so much time for each task, along with what I do for you.
Okay. But
Gina,
that could be really busy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Gina, my thing, I can't seem to get comfortable on Facebook since they made the changes. I just feel so...
It is not easy with the new changes. I am not pleased with the new profile at all.
I'm not either. That's why I just haven't been able to really get myself focused on it. But I know I need to spend more time on Facebook, but I've really neglected it because of that.
Well, to me, and what we're talking about is some major, major updates to the profile page inside of Facebook. Instead of having all of those folders showing up now, typically you're going to have different things showing up on your profile. What I don't like about it is you used to be able to have your story right in the center, in the heart of that profile page, and it doesn't work that way anymore. Now your news feed is right there in the center of that front page of your profile. Well, that can be an issue. I mean, if you don't have a feed that people are looking for to subscribe, well, then how are you going to serve them well? You're not. And that was what was going on. Anyway, with that profile, you've got to try to make it work, even though they took away some of the more powerful parts of it. So now instead of having your main story, that essential part of who you are and what you do. Be right smack dab in the middle of the page. Where it goes now is just below your pictures. And just below them, you'll find an entranceway that will lead you back into the members area. Along the way, you're going to pass through, not to the members area. As people are coming in, they're going to go through and they're going to see your picture on the left. Just below the picture, there's a place where you can put in information about yourself. What most people I see are doing is just putting single, married, divorced. That's it. Well, since you lost that big spot in the profile, you're going to need to make do by using that location to tell people about who you are and what products you have to offer. Because I don't think it's going to let you do things in any other way if you really want to get people the information about who you are and what you do as an expert. There just isn't another good place to put it. And if you're really using that little area, it's not real big, but there can be a more tag on it so people can click to read more. If you're really doing a good job of doing that, your profile won't feel as blah. It won't feel as boring, so that as you're building friend requests, people will be more likely to actually go and sit there and watch your profile, not really getting a lot out of it. So that's the first part of what you want to do on that profile. Next thing you want to do is across your tab, so where it has wall and info and boxes, I like to add two more tabs. First tab I like to add is one that says my blogs on it. And what that is added through is just to the right of your last tab, you'll see a big plus sign. You hit that plus sign, and it's going to take you in so that you can get a drop-down box open up. And at the bottom, you're going to go down and you're going to type in the word blog. When you do, it's going to show you two things. It's going to show you just my blogs, and then it will also show you blog network. For now, choose the blog networks and then keep on moving. The next place it takes you is to go and add in the URL for your blog. Just follow the little wizard instructions for doing all of that. It's going to make you do things like add 20 people by telling them about your blog. Well, that's a great idea. But make sure that you've got the thing set up so that you're going to really benefit from it. There's one issue with this blog network that I see. In order for it to show up on your blog the way you want it to, you've got to have a way to prove that you're the owner of that blog. That happens through one of two mechanisms. Either you can get 10 people to tell blog networks that you're the owner of a blog, or you can put a small piece of HTML code on your website and it will tell them that you're the owner. Well, the last 4, maybe 5 weeks, the blogs on the I Am University are just not switching to the apprentice route properly at all. So if you've got to have those 10 people come in and say, hey, yes, this is the owner of this blog, and it will let you choose from your friends to do that. If you can't get enough friends to go and tell them, yes, you are the author, go into the forum for the IM University, www.theimuniversity.com/forum, www.theimuniversity.com/forum, and let everybody in there know that, hey, you're trying to get your blog added, but you run into some issues, could they help? And I'd bet you any money that you would have tons of help immediately. It doesn't take real long to get it. So that's the first issue that I see with it. The second issue is, until you have another 10 fans, so 10 people saying, yeah, I want to be a fan of this blog, it's a good blog, your content from your RSS feed does not update. It will stay on whatever the content was the day you added that My Blogs or Blog Network to your profile or to your tabs. So when you're asking these people to come over and verify that, yes, you are indeed the owner, just also ask them to please take one more second and click on the little link that says Become a Fan. Because that is something you absolutely need to traffic. If you were to take that off, then I forgot where I was going with that. So let me back up a minute. So in order to get the RSS feeds to update on autopilot, which is what you want them to do, every time you put in a blog post, you want it to show up on your profile. You've got to get those 10 fans. Not challenging to do. You'll find plenty of people in the forum to help you do that. They just have to click one button. But most people don't know that they have to do that, so they never bother to go out and try to do it in the first place. At least this way you'll be able to go and start getting your feed to upgrade sooner, because you know you need to go get those 10 people. And you can make a concerted effort at doing it. You could even use Facebook and invite new friends and make the reason that people are joining you as a friend be taking the survey. I'm sorry, adding themselves as a fan to your blog. That would work really well. So you could go out, find another expert who is someone who is into blogging or teaches blogging or talks about blogging, find a few of their friends, go over and invite them with some of the strategies that Jennifer and I were talking about earlier, where you tell them what you've got in common, ask them some questions about themselves, and then go right on and say, hey, you know, I could really use a few more fans over on blah, 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 whatever the site URL is, and just flat out ask them if they'd be willing to come and, you know, click on one or two links to help you out. Don't worry about trying to get the HTML verification code into your website. It does not work, and I think they're really working hard to try to fix it. So don't worry about it. Just go do a workaround and move on. The next way that I would use my Facebook profile is I would add that My Blogs tab as well as a box on the profile. You'd think that it would be redundant to have them in there two different ways. It's actually not redundant at all. One uses pictures, one uses headlines. And what I found in testing is that you end up with trying to figure out if you don't have a lot of friends, probably about 100 to 150 extra visitors to your blog because of the My Blogs tab. With the My Blogs tab being on your profile, if you also add it to your sidebar, down the sidebar you're going to see an item underneath your friends. It's going to say something about a new network, and it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a little wizard. So once you get to the My Blogs thing, just fill that little wizard out, and it sets itself up. You don't need to prove your ownership like you do with the blog network. You don't need to have fans in order for it to update itself. It helps to have them because it helps for other things. But you don't need to have them there. Once you've got those pieces in place, now you're ready to just go out and start building those relationships. That news feed that's on your blog it will automatically publish every single time you put in a post to your WordPress blog. It'll have a couple paragraphs at least of an introduction. And that's great that it does that, because it makes your life so much easier by having to do that. What questions do you guys have about using Facebook or other social networking sites? Jennifer, Carrie, Allen?
Yeah, Dina, this is Jennifer. I have a question about creating groups. So, of course, we can start a profile and adding friends, and then we can create our groups. So, for example, you have your social marketing group on Facebook. And once we have that, can we – so I'm still working on cracking the code of inviting friends to my group without, you know, being accused of spam or that version on Facebook. Is there something special that we're supposed to do?
It's a toughie. Yes, you can only add 100 friends at one time. So here's the really great thing about having a group on Facebook. If you've got friends, you can communicate with your friends in groups of 20. So let's say you have 2,000 friends. That's 100 different messages that you need to send in order to communicate with all 2,000 friends. That's a lot of work to send 100 separate emails. On the other hand, if you went in and did the group, then instead of being limited to 20, you could mail that entire group all at one time. So that's why they're so picky about how many people you can add as members of the group or friends of the group in any one day. They don't want people to use it to spam large numbers of people all at one time. What it's supposed to do and what it seems to be doing the last week or so is a little bit different. What it's supposed to do is each day you're supposed to be able to go in and invite another 100 people. What I have found it doing, though, is slightly different. What it's doing right now is, if you invite 100 people and say 50 of them respond favorably and 50 of them don't respond at all, then in order to invite 100 that day, you've got to first go delete the 50 that didn't respond, and then you can invite a total of 100 that day. So it's not something that starts over from zero each day. It's something that accumulates itself, and so the more you are doing in terms of working that group, the more you're going to have to actually be doing things like deleting the people that didn't come in order to add a new group. Does that make sense, Jennifer?
It does. So it also seems that, so I have a group, for example, that instead of from my profile of Jennifer Carter going out and inviting people, I should invite people directly from the group to be my friend as a part of the group.
Precisely.
Okay.
And you want to start by adding all of your friends and inviting them to be part of the group. Only when you've got every one of your friends in there do you then want to go out and invite others to become a part of it.
Okay. Great.
Okay. What are the questions you guys have?
I actually have a question if nobody else jumps in.
Go for it.
Okay.
Don't be shy.
Excellent. You talk about creating applications in one of your ebooks on blogging and social marketing, and a lot of people in there have applications in Facebook, which are just fun applications, but sometimes there's a purpose behind them. You know, there's good karma, there's hugs, there's be a billionaire, things like that. Do you know about those, and is there a way that we can use those to, isn't that a viral application somehow? What do you know about those? because I'd like to.
Well, I just had one created recently, so I know quite a bit about them. You need to find a programmer who can help you create one. It is relatively inexpensive to do so. More often than not, you can get it done for under a couple of $100 using something like Elance or Scriptlance or one of those kinds of sites. You want to think about your outcomes. Just like with any other aspect of building your business, you want to start with your end result. Why are you building an application? What do you gain from having an application? So why don't we start there and then we look at what you can do to build this application. What is the outcome for you? Why do you want an application?
Well, for me, so I guess I have to know fully what one is allowed to do with the applications, but to me it seems like a viral thing that people will pass around. For example, I don't know who the creator of Good Karma Points or Somebody Sent You a Hug. Those are different applications. I don't know who started it, but, you know, friends have passed them to me and I've passed them on to other friends. Can the author or creator of those applications, can't they then somehow contact anybody who's used their application?
Totally depends on how they set that application installation up. So if they were smart, what they would do is in the installation process, they would make people register so that they can contact them anytime they want. Do all application creators require that? No, they do not. So it's something that you need to put into your plan and know that that becomes a part of your outcome. So a really great outcome from having a Facebook application is you can use it to grow a very substantial list. That would be a great thing to have in this. That's another good example of
Could you do something like what was the tool you had for you have a product or something called JV Toolbar Suite or something like that?
JV Suite Toolbar.
Okay. Is that the application where you can also send sort of daily messages through it, or is that a different thing? Because I'm wondering if you can do something like that with a Facebook application.
It is most certainly that application. If you go to JVSuite.com, www.JVSuite.com, they will still let you send messages to their rules. What they won't let you do is, the way that the JV Suite toolbar works, the messages that you're talking about, the daily messages, those work off of RSS feeds, and it works off of a blog. So all I do is I go into a blog, I create a new post, I check which category I want it to appear under, and that corresponds to appearance, what are those three things? Oh, the JV announcements, JVs to promote, and I have something I call the JV ticker. So it kind of scrolls across the screen. So you could create something like that for Facebook just using an RSS feed to populate it. A really good example would be the Daily Marketing Ace. If you go to dailymarketingace.com or you search in Facebook for Daily Marketing Ace from within the applications section, that is a little Facebook application that works off of an RSS feed. It creates something that fits up on your profile, and every day they take a new tip that's a marketing tip of the day and push it out to all of the applications using an RSS feed. You get to put your affiliate ID into the application so that if someone else decides to register so that they can get those daily tips on their desktop, you would become the referring affiliate. And not only would it cause you to have your, anyone could put in their email address when they're setting up that application, and then you could push out whatever you want to it. So with the Daily Marketing Ace, you can actually get instant commissions if people upgrade by subscribing to get the tips and then upgrading. You get, I think, like $27 instant affiliate commissions. That's the subject of my affiliate hub system info product that you'll find at www.askggg.com/AHSAFFIL. www.askggg.com/A like Apple, F like Frank, F like Frank, I, L like Larry. askggg.com/AHSAFFIL. Anyway, that's a great product that describes my whole system for Facebook. Plus, it describes all, everything you want to know about this Daily Marketing Ace application, how it works, and how it can make you commissions. So, yeah, Jennifer, you could definitely create something like that. But you want to be clear on your outcomes. So if one of the outcomes is to grow a list using this, I found it just recently, like in the last 2 days, investigating some of the applications that are out on Facebook, it looks like there are a few applications that have as many as 3 million users, and all of those users would have had to register. I have seen, on the other hand, other applications that have about 10,000 users, all of them who had registered. So anything in between is fair game. In terms of getting your application out to the masses, it's going to very much depend on what you do to put that system together to get people there to get to the application. You're going to have to get it started, then let it reach a point of critical mass on its own, and once it does, it will be able to grow on its own. But it's up to you to get it kick-started.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did that help?
It did, tremendously. Checking out the Daily Ace right now and the web you gave us, yes.
Good. I've got a hand being raised by Miss Carrie, so let me go get her hand unraised. Come in, Carrie. There you are. You there, Carrie?
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Ah, I've been trying to talk to you. I am going crazy with that. I cannot get the My Blog tab added. I tried and tried.
You
blog
can. Paper,
but not My Blog. It won't let me.
Well, that's odd. I just got it added to somebody else's on Sunday. I wonder why.
I remember Alan was saying on a call that he was having that same issue. Was that him you were talking to earlier? I wanted to know if he had
it
ever
was.
Worked his way through it.
Alan, did you?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
The My Blogs tab on Facebook, did you ever get it added to your profile?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay, here's another idea. Try going to My Profile, to My Blogs, and see if there's anything on it that would help you to add it to yours.
Okay, I'll try that route.
That might work. That might be a really good way of doing it. Now, I am in here, in my...
Seems like a glitch on Facebook, because it wouldn't let me do the blog network for a long time either, and then I did the same exact thing, and it let me do it. So I don't understand what's going on
with
Facebook.
Well, since they went and put in all of this new stuff, it's really been a pain in the neck. Stuff has gone down, it's come back, it's gone back down. It has not been easy to deal with. Tell you what, I will go create a redirect for you. How's that? So here's what you're going to do.
Great.
You're going to give me 2 seconds, and in 2 seconds, you're going to go out to your profile, and then you're going to open a new window, and in the new window, you're going to go to askggg.com/myblogs, plural. askggg.com/myblogs. And that will take you straight to the page that lets you add that application.
Oh, great. I'm about 2 minutes from my house. I'll jog in there and give that a try.
And that should work. At least it looks like it does. So I have a feeling that that will definitely work for you.
Let me see
if there's anything else. Oh, one other thing that application does that I didn't even realize it did. This is powerful. You can also add that my blogs thing to a page on your profile instead of just a on the profile itself. You could actually add it to a page. So let's say you have a specific product that you've created a page for. Let's take my 21 Days to Blogging Profits course, for example. I could set up a separate category of my blog that's just for that product. When I set up and add a blog, I could add the blog for 21 Days to Blogging Profits, and I could use this to add that to the page instead of onto the tab or onto the front page of the profile. That would be very powerful. Are you following with me, Carrie?
Yeah, I think I am. I can't wait to get on there and give it a try.
Awesome. Let's see, what time is it? We still got some time. I wanted to play another song for you guys today. So if you remember the other day, I played 2 songs for you. I played the Entrepreneur's Creed last week, and I played a song called Leaving Your Legacy. The Entrepreneur's Prayer and Leaving Your Legacy. What I wanted to play today is one called the Seller's Creed. This one is kind of different. This one, instead of talking about the things that are important because they're important to you, this one is about the things that are important to you in building relationships with your customers. So let me play this for you real quick, and then we can come back and talk about it for a few minutes. Let's see what you think. Again, this is by my good friend Rick Benatel from 10MillionClicksForPeace.org.
Hi, this is Rick Benatel, and I'm happy to present The Seller's Creed. I will not make sales, I will make customers. I will target the heart of my customer, never their wallet. My customer is the lifeblood of my business. Though I may sell my customers what they want, I will deliver what they need and make their lives better. Courtesy and service are cornerstones of my relationship with my customer. I will view complaints as opportunities to create lifelong customers. The quality of my products and how I treat my customers will determine the level of my success. My prosperity will come from building people. My best advertisement is my product and the customer service behind it. Making money without making friends is not good business. I will guide my business with a perfect blend of heart and mind. I will make integrity my trademark. After all, isn't integrity all I have and all I will be remembered for? I will compete only against myself, as the only true measurement is against myself. It is fine to fail. In fact, it is most often a requirement of success. My reputation is everything. My ego, nothing. Every pittance I earn unjustly is a debt of fortune I must repay. No matter the fame or fortune that may follow me, my values, my family, and my friends must remain at the very core of my being. Better I be trusted and respected than rich. Better I be a dolphin swimming with sharks than a shark.
Isn't that a great song? Okay, we've got another caller from area code 417 with a hand up. Let's see what I can do to get you unmuted.
Oh.
Hey there, who am I speaking with?
Hey lady, Rhonda Del Baccio. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Rhonda, how are you?
I am so great. What a fabulous show.
Thank you. Did you like that song? That is like one of my favorites.
That is a very cool Creed, and I kept going, yes, 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 through the whole thing. It is just absolutely great. And I'm glad it wasn't just me having trouble with this bar thing with the blogs and the blog networks and stuff. It's been giving me fits the last couple of days.
Go try this, fggg.com/myblogs. That should make it a little bit easier.
I will do that. I love the idea of using the instant messenger in Facebook. However, it's completely inaccessible to me as a blind person. Like most
is
of the
it is, really?
It is such a pain in the you-know-what-y to use. I keep having to say, I'm sorry, I can't use this. You're going to have to Skype or use something else. I can't use this platform because I just can't read it, and it's hard to, you know, even to try to figure out how to get it out and then paste it into something else so I can read it. I mean, it's just a hassle, and it's worse. I mean, none of those messenger services works well, but that one is the worst.
Oh, man. But you can use Skype?
Well, yeah, but I have to copy and paste it into something else. It just this seems it's harder to mess around with this one on the screen, and the print is really small. At least Skype I can make a little bigger, and this thing is just really a hassle.
Yeah, I don't like it myself. I don't use it myself because of that. Now, I do something that some people don't necessarily agree with, but it is working. I have my traffic assistant use that interactive instant messaging in Facebook for me. So they actually log in as me so
right.
that they can then interact with other people using my instant messenger. And that works.
Well, that would be fine if I had, but, you know, it's just technology gets to be an issue, and I wish all of those services would be much better and easier to work with because you have to copy and paste it, but we even was having trouble doing that in the Facebook one. Hey, but I have a Gina blog now officially, and I'm going to town blogging.
Oh, I got to see it. Is this on the story?
ProfitableStorytelling.com will take you there.
Well, since you are here, and I am so glad you are, let's have you as the story lady talk a little bit about social marketing and telling your story to build bigger relationships.
I have a little about me piece that I wrote that I plop into all these profiles about how I became the story lady. I do have it on Facebook under the, I think it's under about me or something. I don't like the new arrangement of the new Facebook either. But I use this and I tell the story of how, as a child, I unknowingly began my road to becoming the story lady because alone as a toddler, I would create little skits and stories and plays and so forth with my stuffed animals. And
oh, how cute.
Yeah, I would. And my parents would, you know, I would do this independently. They didn't encourage me to do it. They didn't make me do it. They most of the time weren't even playing with me. I was doing it independently, and they were in the other room like, oh, my gosh, you know, look what she's doing. And then I noticed, and I kind of joke, and my mother and I both have a sign on our forehead that says, tell me your story, because people will come up to either one of us and just start spilling their guts about whatever. It doesn't matter, so which is fine. I like to connect with people. And apparently I make a safe space for someone where they feel that they can just tell their story and be exactly who they are with me, which is great. And those things help me become the story lady. And now I teach people to stand in your power and tell your story to the world. And that's how I became the story lady. So I share that little excerpt in written form on these different forums. And
that's great.
That cool? And then I ask people, when I send a message or a friend invite, I will say something like, oh, I love your picture. Oh, I see you love storytelling too. And, you know, such and so from their profile, I'll pick something. Or if I see a note or blog post, oh, I see you were telling a story in New York yesterday. How did that go? I'll ask a question and get people to open up. Or I'll say, wow, I hope you have a great blog book tour in December. Looks like you have some great bloggers lined up for you. Let me know if you'd like to add me to your list, and I'll send a friend request that way.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at your blog. This new Gina blog looks fantastic. Great job. Did Tony help you with it?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. He did a wonderful job. I absolutely love it. And it's www.profitablestorytelling.com, guys. It looks fantastic.
And I do book launches for authors, so you're going to start seeing things about storytelling from the news and things about my authors and their launches, and I'll be looking for blog stops for them and promoters for them and all of that. But it's a great blog layout. I have to get my links set up, but we're getting there. At least the content is all started, so...
Well, one suggestion that I have for you is this. I would, in your post, you want to not let the more tag just go wherever it wants. You want to cause it to go where you want it to go. It's a really important thing to do. Here's what you'll end up noticing. If you just let it go wherever it wants to go, like it's doing right now, it's just the default is at the end of the first paragraph or after so many characters, it's just going to get put in there. When you do that, you will probably notice that it's challenging to get over 2 page views per visitor if you're looking at your stats. Simply by changing where that more tag goes, you can typically get boosted from 1 to 2 page views per visitor to something like 4 to 5 page views per visitor. It's really an enormous result. So see what you can do. Where you want that more tag to go is I write my blog post using a very specific formula that goes like this. I have a title that asks a question. I then go in and start the post with a story. That story illustrates the problem that was stated in the title. I then reiterate the question that was in the title. After reiterating that question, I then put in my more tag. I then go on to the next page, and that's where I, on the next page is where the rest of the post appears, where you have the answer to the question, which is a short bulleted list that is either the steps to a solution or the solutions, plural, an explanation of the solution or solutions, and then a takeaway. It's the call to action and the resource. It's where you give them or sell them that which the post is designed around. I think that would work really well for you to come up with some sort of a little formula or use mine for where you put those more tags. Okay.
How do you place a more tag? I have no idea what.
Good question. How are you getting things into your blog?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
How are you getting things into your blog? Are you using your WordPress dashboard, or are you using another tool?
I just go right into the WordPress, admin area and plop them in there.
Okay. So when you're in the writing panel, just above where you're writing, you've got that row of things you can put in there. So bold, italics, underline. You're
going
to see an icon that's closer to the right. It's probably about 4 or 5 from the right-hand side. And what it looks like is 2 rectangles stacked on top of one another.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. I will check that out, and that's the more. Okay.
Yeah. But otherwise, I think the blog looks great. I don't think there's anything at all I can do to improve upon it. It just looks really, really good.
Well, thanks.
Now,
yes.
What are you doing to rotate that picture on the right-hand side? Because that looks good, too.
You'd have to ask Jeremy. I don't know. He just said, I put this in there, and I mailed him a couple of pictures, and he had one of hot air balloons, which I absolutely adore hot air balloons. So I told him to leave that one in there, and I gave him a couple. So,
wow. I love the fact that every time I get back to the homepage, I see a different picture. That makes it stay fresh. That makes you want to come back just to see what the new picture is.
It rotates.
The one
thing more.
Oh, okay. Well, I've only seen 3 so far. So I got one more visit I can make.
Yeah.
The one thing that I see that is missing is down at the bottom of the sidebar, you want to go and join mybloglog.com. Mybloglog.com.
Right.
It's totally free to join. Once you've joined, grab a copy of the recent readers widget and pop that baby in the right-hand side. Once you've done that step, you want to go and add a new blog to the profile. So this blog, I don't think, is in a MyBlogLog account right now, at least not from what I can see doing a quick search. What will happen by having the blog in your profile in MyBlogLog and getting a recent readers widget that you put right on the blog, it will simultaneously add code that will allow you to track your visitor statistics for the blog. That way you'll be able to tell, am I getting 1 visitor per month? Am I getting 1,000 visitors per month? Or somewhere in between. Okay?
Yep.
So what other tips do you have as the story lady for social networking that you can share with the audience?
I would share that never be afraid to share your story in a relevant way. Sharing your story does not mean puking out your links at people. Hi, go here. Blah. You know, that's how I put it to people. Don't puke out your links, but sharing part of your story and showing interest in their story. Like when I saw someone's blog book tour and saw her on Facebook, I said, I mentioned something about her tour when I made the friend request. Did you plan this yourself? Did someone organize it for you? You know, whatever. And ask questions, like you said before, share parts of your story, share a common thing. Oh, I see the picture of your dog, you know, that looks like one I used to have or whatever, something that connects you to them that's part of their story and perhaps part of yours. And, I mean, that's what I enjoy doing that. And people love to talk about themselves. So when you ask a question that way or you share something that's a common bond, you're really pulling yourself right over to being interested in what you're doing.
Really great suggestions. And just sharing your story out in social networks is enough to drive gobs and gobs of traffic. It's the same reason that reality TV is popular in today's world. People like to hear about other people. They want to hear about other people. Many times it's just because they consider their life boring. Use that to your advantage. Know who your audience is. And in doing that, you should be able to drive even more traffic and get much bigger results than yet.
Yeah, it's about being willing to stand in your power, and it does take, I have to acknowledge to people, it takes a little courage to tell your story, to share parts of your life. We're often taught, you know, not to talk that much about yourself, or we have that feeling that we shouldn't, but you cannot hide, as you had so wisely said earlier, you can't hide behind a keyboard. Even if your stuff is typed, you want to be real. I'll also say if you're doing anything with audio or video, that's with your own voice. Make sure that those things are getting around, too, because people can hear you or see you and hear you and really feel you.
That's a great point. Really, really good point. Well, any other questions from anybody in the audience? Oops, let me go get Miss Carrie unmuted again. I don't know how you keep getting muted, Carrie.
Because I keep changing phones.
Oh, that would do it. Okay, there you go.
I just had wanted to throw out there that I had made a comment in the forum, I think, to Debbie, and she had gotten back to me. And I just wanted to throw out there that if you go back into your dashboard and add a more tag, you'll ping again unless you unping.
Oh, good point. Thank you. Rhonda, do you understand what she's saying now?
That it'll ping again as if it's fresh content, and I should uncheck the ping box when I do that?
Well, the ping box on there has nothing to do with pinging the search engines. They are two totally different things.
Right. I usually go and ping afterwards, even though I know WordPress does it. But
well, WordPress can, you can turn it off so that it doesn't do it. My students turn it off because you don't have enough control and you can double ping and it can get you blacklisted in the search engines. To turn it off, go to the settings section in there, then go to writing, scroll down to the bottom, and it'll say update services. If you just let that section stay on its default, the default pings one link. So you'll be okay as long as you do that. Make sense?
I think so. I'm sorry. I was trying to get to my blog and follow your instructions and listen at the same time. Going into
tell you what, if you struggle with it when you get there, we've only got about 2 minutes on the show. If you struggle with it, just give me a shout, and I'd be glad to help.
That sounds perfect. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And, oh, Dr. Jim finally joined us.
Hi, Jean. I've been here the whole time, but just not where you
could
see me.
Oh, I just didn't even see you.
No, I just came on, and I'm just still learning how Blog Talk Radio works. I just came on where you could see that I was there, but I've been listening without you seeing
them
on. Yeah.
Well, I wonder how many other people are doing that same thing that I can't see.
I don't know. I came into Blog Talk and clicked on listen to the show, but I didn't realize that you couldn't see I was there. I clicked on the button to get my mic hot, and it said, oh, you have to sign in before you can talk. So I just signed in a minute ago, and that's when you saw me pop up.
Gotcha.
So anyway, great show.
Well,
I'm
glad you were here.
And I'm so impressed with the guests that you've had speaking. Really good stuff.
Well, we've had some people from Group 6, and Rhonda's just a dear friend of mine that we managed to reconnect at JV Alert recently, and I'm so glad that we did, Rhonda.
Oh, me too.
So, anyone have any final questions? Okay, well, I've got one last song that we're going to close with today, and I will see you guys next Tuesday at noon for Blog Talk Radio's Relationship Marketing 101. Thank you all for being here. It was a great show. It was a lot of fun. And see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Gina.
Bye, Gina.